Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim, thank you for joining us. I have permission to play the song as it is playing in the context of the song, so I appreciate that. Let me go here just a few minutes. Hey, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Canada Views. As always, I am your host, Blaine King. I am also the co-founder and chapter coordinator and leader of Creative Care Beacon. And we are the ones currently representing the Human Solution International here in Ohio. A little real quick rundown about the Human Solution. They're a 501c3 grassroots organization that stands up for human rights. That is the easiest basic way I can tell you. If you or a loved one is going through a human rights case and needs help and needs support, I encourage you to go over to www.thsintl.org. Listen, it's a great organization to have behind you if you're a dependent or a loved one's dependent. They've got all the right tools right there on their website that you can go and check out. Peggy and I, and that's why we represent the Human Solution, is because Peggy and I reached out to them during our case when we were going through it, and we had a lot of support back from them. So I definitely encourage you to definitely go over and check them out. They're also doing a Walk for Change. I want you to check that out, too. And the way you check that is www.walk4change.us. You know, they're feeding a lot of people, man, getting a lot of stuff together for a lot of needy people and things that are going through hard times because this coronavirus is still affecting and attacking a lot of people. So greatly appreciate the Walk for Change for what they're doing and all the people that they're helping. You know, and I was grateful for them being there for Peggy and I and getting us through our case and helping us. And not small feet, something else we do, and it's something, you know, drop all charges against Adele and Aaron Wisdom. They're going through a case in Missouri that nobody should have to, again, you know, cannabis case. Nobody should have to go to jail for cannabis. And they're facing 11 years in prison for cannabis for that. So if you wouldn't mind, if you are listening on the radio, top over on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, real quick, jot something down that says drop all charges against Aaron and Adele and tag either one of them. And you're more than welcome. Please tag Carrie Cannon because she's got all the resources to get all this collage together and sent to the right people to help with that. Another one that we always advocate for and we push for and we pray right now because he's dealing with coronavirus, not only, you know, serving a 10-year sentence, but Freelance Glore, you know, you can tag Carrie Cannon in that, and or you can tag Tracy Glore Pike. They would greatly appreciate all the support they can get for their loved ones and getting Lance home. That would be, you know, tremendous. Hey, I can see people now. Hey, hi, Mom. See you. Hi, thank you for watching and sharing around. 420 Jim, always a pleasure to have you watching and sharing around. Thank you. And Dana Bland, who is the chapter coordinator for the Hope for Change and End of Prohibition Court Support, the Missouri chapter of the Human Solution International, who does the same thing, man. If you live, again, if you're going through something, go to the Human Solution International and hit them up because there's a lot of good organizations for chapters in each state that you can reach out to. So definitely reach out to them if you're going through something. I want to take a real quick drink, real quick. Listen, if you guys are in Northwest Ohio or Northeast Ohio, close to Bel Air, please hop down there to 3048 West Belmont Street in Bel Air, Ohio. And if you do, you will find a holistic shop called the Holistic Cloud for all of your holistic needs and glass accessories. The only place that I know that is, you know, backed 100% by, you know, with their Bill Smith Jr., man, is a hardworking individual, and he runs the Holistic Cloud just like he runs all the petition signing and stuff that he does for all the streets, you know, for all the cities and stuff there in Ohio. Yes, you're absolutely right, Dana. Drop all charges against Zach Salazar. He's another one who's going through that to a case. So, yeah, tag another one. There's another one. Drop charges against Zach Salazar. He's going through a case himself. With that, listen, you know, down at OS, I'm telling you about the Holistic Cloud. So if you cannot go there in person, you can always visit them at www.theholisticcloud.com. Again, you can ship them to you because it's all holistic needs. Cincinnati Mom Buds, go check her page out. She's got a lot of good things and a lot of good projects. She's soon going to be sending us stuff that we can raffle off and do giveaways for people. Another one, Patriot Medical Hemp. Great guy, Jeffrey Piper. Vet-owned, operated. He formulated the product himself. Definitely check him out. You can check him out there, show it there. Or you can even give him a call. He will send it to you because it's all CBD products. So, you know, tonight's show is we're dealing with and we're talking about CPS, Children's Services, and going through hardship in cases with CPS. We have a grandmother that's coming on that ended up having to face CPS and eventually got charges for this. But I'm going to let her tell you her story and her side. And we have another lady that's going to come on, Tammy Winkles from Texas, that, you know, that is no stranger to CPS and their tactics and what they do. So we're going to go ahead and shoot over here, and we're going to bring up Janine Zanola is going to join us, and she's got a story to tell you that is quite unreal. So without further ado, hello, Janine. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Sending light, peace, joy, tranquility, and good vibes.
Awesome. So let's just start with, you know, what happened?
It all started back in September 5th, 2015, when, it started May 4th, 89, but that's a whole other story. My daughter was murdered in Huntington, West Virginia, and I have been raising my three grandchildren since the very first one was born. And my baby sister told me that she had started calling CPS on me, that every time in the past 32 years CPS had been called on me that she did it. This stemmed to November 11th, 2020. My grandson had decided to run away, and we were going back down to a friend's house to spend until the weekend, and the kids each had a chore they had to do while I got, you know, our laundry done and got the clothes ready. And each girl had a bathroom. He had the trash. Well, when he had taken the trash out, he proceeded to run away. When I went downstairs and I couldn't find him, I went outside. I went running around everywhere. I went to all the neighbors' houses trying to figure out where he was. I called the cops. I called my sister, and I went live on Facebook in total tears, crying my heart out, asking everybody to help me find my grandson. Well, then the cops showed up, and then my sister showed up, and they were like, well, what's going on here? And I said, I don't know. I said, I think my grandson was abducted. And my sister was like, well, I'm going to take Ariana with me. She was the eldest one. And she says, we'll go look for him. Well, she come back 6 minutes later with my grandson in the car. Kind of thought it was a little strange, but, you know, so be it. She found me. That's all that mattered. And so the officer said that he wanted to interview my grandson, and I was going to go out with him. He said, you can't come out here. I said, wait a minute. He's a minor. You can't interview him without an adult present. He says, well, any adult can come out here except for you. If you come out this door or even go out your back door, I'm going to give you a citation and take you to jail for, I forget what the word's called. I have pot timers. I forget a lot of things. But, an obstruction charge. He's going to charge me with obstruction. And I was like, okay. So I had my nephew go out with him. And about 10 minutes later, he comes in and he says, well, I need to interview the two girls as well. And I said, okay. And then my sister looked at me and she was like, you know this is all me, don't you? And I was like, what do you mean? She says, well, I'm the reason why Jameer ran away. And she says, you want to know why I hate you? And I was like, yes, please tell me why you hate me so much, because I love you. And this stems back to when she was 16, she was 11 and I was 16. She said, you went off to California and lived this glamorous life. And I was like, oh, really? I said, it wasn't a glamorous life, Susan. I said, Mom was faced with an ultimatum, me or our stepdad, you and our brother. I said, so Mom chose our stepdad, you and our brother, and sent me out to California with an aunt who then turned me on to drugs. And she's like, well, I'm going to ruin your life. She says, you're going to have nobody and no one and nothing by the time I'm done. And I was like, wow. Well, that night they took CPS, came in, and they tried to say that I was either drunk or on drugs or, and I told them, I said, now I smoked a joint when we first got home, but everybody knew that I smoked pot and everybody was cool with it. And so the CPS worker came in and she's like, well, I'm sorry, but we have to remove these children. And I was like, okay. And so they did. They took the children out. They took them to the Harmony House and did interviews, visual, you know, they recorded interviews with them. And come to find out, I had to go to court and everything. So January 24th, I went to court. Sorry, let me turn my volume down on this.
No, you're fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, shoot, I can't hear you. Hold on, let me do the media. Shoot.
Okay, can you hear me now? Ooh, I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you now. My media kept going off on me.
Nope, you're fine.
I'm sorry?
Nope, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so anyways, on January 24th, now that was November 11th, 2020, and I went to court January 24th, 2021, and my niece got up on the stand and she, right hand to God, hand on a Bible, stating that she watched me whip my grandchildren 16 times each. She said, once I finished with the one, I said, next. I did the next one. When I was done with that one, I said, next, and did the third one. Now, almost 11, 12 months prior to that, I had total rotator cuff reconstruction surgery, and for 9 months, I couldn't even move my arm, and I was just starting to get range of motion. Now, don't get me wrong. Did I give my grandkids a spanking on the butt? Yes, they got two or three cracks on the butt if they were bad. I was more of a yeller. I would yell at them rather than spank them, but the children told them that I was spanking them, I was kicking them, I was punching them, I was grabbing them by the hair and throwing them through the room. Now, this is all stuff that happened to me when I was a child. Come to find out, and I don't blame the children for this because, you know, they are children. They were my niece that stood up on the line or got up on a stand and lied about me. She had moved in with me for like 4 months, and I couldn't understand why she kept keeping the kids in the bedroom playing games all the time when I would always make them go outside and play. And come to find out, they've been brainwashed. They're now with my youngest daughter, which I'm grateful that they are with family, but everything that I couldn't give them, they now have. They now have cell phones, which I told them they weren't, you know, they weren't responsible enough for cell phones yet. No. They now have tablets. And in Christmas of 19, a girlfriend of mine bought each one of the kids Kindle Fire. Now, they didn't get them until March because she was always busy. So by May, all three Kindle Fires were destroyed. And I told them they weren't responsible. And I wasn't going to waste the money. Well, I had also bought them like nine tablets prior, since they were like six, seven, and eight. So from that time up until last year, I had bought them like nine tablets, and they just kept destroying them. And then when they destroyed hers, I told them no more. until they become responsible enough, not destroy them, I wasn't going to waste any more money.
Right.
Whether it was the money that I was getting for their mom, for their, you know, survivor benefits, I was not wasting the money. And so anyways, fast forward, May 4th was my daughter's birthday, and we always went down to the waterfront in Wheeling, and we'd let off balloons, sing happy heavenly birthday, and have a cake, blow out the candles, and have like a little party. Well, nobody showed up. Well, only two people showed up, my friend Jim Everly and my other friend James Tovar. And we were on our way back to my house to have the cake. Well, I got a block and a half, two blocks from my house, and I got pulled over by an officer of Wheeling. And he was like, you need to step out of the car. I have a warrant for your arrest. I was like, for what? I don't do anything. And he says, well, you'll find all that out when you go to court. I was like, okay. Well, here on my, they took custody away from me as a kid on January 24th and gave it to my daughter. They waited until April 22nd to put a warrant out for my arrest and an indictment. And they charged me with three felonious abuse and neglect with injury. Now, my grandchildren have never had any injuries other than going out and riding a bike, falling, bumps and bruises, you know, out kid stuff. Ariana had broken both arms. However, both of those were documented. One, we were at Walmart, and she slipped off the bench I made him sit on, and as soon as her hand hit the floor, me and the lady at the garage thing watched her arm break. So that was on camera. And then 2 years later, she was at school and was on the monkey bars, and she fell. She landed on her good arm, and her bad arm landed on her good arm, and it broke it. So she was at school. So the only two injuries that my grandchildren have ever had were both documented that I had nothing to do with. However, now if I would have tried to take this to the box, they were going to try and get me with three consecutive life sentences. I let my lawyer talk me into taking a plea deal, and I'm now facing 1 to 5. The judge said that he would, you know, look into a Rule 35 for me, and my lawyer could put in for it the next day, which it took him a whole month and almost a month and a half longer before he even put in for it. And now I have to register in the sex offenders registry as a violent parent for 10 years.
Wow. So that they... Why is there not separate lit? Why is there not separation? Because you're not a sexual predator.
Because West Virginia doesn't have separate wet registries.
So they just if you're a bad parent, you get lumped in with the sexual predators, with the child molesters. And I mean, you have to literally register on the same registry that a sex offender has to.
Yes. Yes, Thursday I went and did my fingerprinting, and next Tuesday I have to go and get swabbed for my DNA.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. Well, hang on to the line here. I'm going to bring up, I'm hoping I'm hitting the right button. I hope this is Tammy. Hello, and you're live on Canaview. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm here. I've been listening. Has she got that documented in black and white by a judge or anybody that West Virginia separates the list under sex offenders and under abusers of parents or, endangerment of children or anything? Is there anything documented stating West Virginia said that?
Tammy, do you have a little dog around or something around with you?
I just got outside. You heard children, not daughter's children. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Start over?
Children. Yeah, I could just hear squealing. That's all I could hear was just a bunch of squealing.
Yeah,
that sounded like a dog. So I'm very sorry.
Okay.
Didn't mean to offend
the
children.
Let's go again. I got this.
Right on. No, you know, because Tammy, you're essentially going through the same thing. You know, you pretty much went through, you know, somebody lying on you guys and trying to take your kids as well. And through CPS, and you know, we absolutely know that, you know, listen, and it's not no hidden secret that CPS is absolutely nothing but a legal child trafficker. That's all they are.
Yes.
They're illegal child trafficking. It's a way for them to take children from people that deserve them. Not even deserve them. Let me rephrase that. They take children from where they belong, where they should belong, and place them with monsters. And that's exactly what happens.
It's a money operation.
They get placed with monsters. Go ahead, Tammy.
Money operation. Yes.
Absolutely. Because I know that, Tammy, you went through after, yeah, I'm here. I can hear you. Absolutely.
We just
but I
had
know
a
that
trial.
You just had a trial today. So give us a real quick update on what happened with your trial.
Well, the trial was weird. It seemed like if it was almost a private trial, like a fake hearing, like people always claim kangaroo court. Because I'm going to tell you something. When do you just see their side of people and our witnesses and our side of people, but no one else in the courtroom? You don't see that. But I guess that's trial in the family court. They would not put me on the stand, but they did ask me to leave the court and go outside while they put other people on the stand. And when I heard what they said about me, I think they'd take Supreme Court or may have been into another direction. I don't know yet, but they lied on me. And they brought up a past from 20 years ago that happened with my ex-husband. And I was not with the man. I was divorced. I didn't live with him. But I sent him to prison because what he done was it was wrong. But I didn't know about it till later on. Because our kids, we shared custody. They went over there and they came back home. Okay. Well, they brought that up with CPS issue 20 years ago. Number one, you're not supposed to bring up a past from 5 years ago in the court system, okay? That's your past. Now, you can hold thing against people, but you cannot go and swear and say this and that about somebody 20 years ago. That's a lawsuit right there starting. Now, what they did to my daughter was horrible. Because of an allegation on drugs, they made her show her dentures, her teeth, her dental, you know? The stains around her teeth because she got cavities. They forced her in the trial to show her whole mouth of teeth, humiliation, even though she passed all her drug tests by hair, nail, UA, all of them. Then they called multiple CPS calls since I have last spoken with you. All cases closed out, all drug tests passed. Of course, I challenged CPS at that part, where I met them in the front door, and I told them like it was. They're not getting in without warrant. They're not opening cases. We're not contracting. So what you going to do? So they're gone. Now, they even lied to our lawyer and stated, tribal laws do not matter. We can do what we want. I contacted Cherokee Nation. I spoke with Cherokee Nation, who did tell me tribal laws matter in criminal court with criminals. Tribal laws matter with children. Anything is to do with the tribe matters. It's just you have to register, and once you register, they'll send out the letters into the Supreme Court. It isn't in a family court. It goes above, is where the tribal stuff stands. Do I know what happened? You wanted to terminate. Did they get their termination in front of the judge? No. Our lawyer did good. He was a private lawyer. He was paid. He did good. Their lawyer is a child trafficker, and I know that. I've studied her. But I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to say anyone's name, okay? But she did okay, I guess, against asking all the witnesses on our side. And my daughter answered honestly. And then they brought up something about a medical mental illness. Here's where they got trapped, and they don't know it. When they forced Laura into a mediation, done under CPS, they messed up. Read the top line. It says all parties involved know there's no medical, no mental, and no medication involved. Everybody's competent to agree to all standards. Guess what? Laura's mentally ill. CPS knew it, didn't terminate her. Forced her into medication and MHMR, but didn't terminate her. Yet they forced her under duress into the mediation. And the mediation is no good because it says mental illness, medical illness, medicine, all parties know that there is none of this. Right there, makes that annullable, reverse, no good. That's for Supreme Court.
Right.
I'm going to take the whole case in Supreme Court because the way it went, you know. But I'm not saying they got terminated. I'm not going to say that because our lawyer did good. He says
right on.
He sees two couples that were broken, refixing their lives, and doing good, passed all their drug tests, stable, everything, and looking for nothing. But he wanted a monetary return to turn to reunification. How he treated the foster parents, the mother, the foster mother, the judge was very mean to her. So I don't know how things are going on her end, but we had the judge name, I can't give names, I forgot, but he was the judge that was live on media involved in that murder with that little girl in Grand Prairie, 4-year-old that was killed by her own mother and boyfriend. He was the judge that made that decision. And he was for the mom and
that's
the grandparents. Huh?
Right. And see, that's the scary thing with, you know, CPS is, you know, you never know where them children are going or who them people are going to.
No, you don't.
You know,
and
Jamie,
there's a very important thing
you
need to know right quick and then say whatever you want. The lady who stated she's on with in West Virginia listed under the sex offender as a she's done harm to a child but not sex offender, that don't make no sense. She needs a judge or she needs some kind of statute of writing stating she cannot, that she has to do that. She has to list like that because you can't do that. That's discrimination. That falls under HIPAA laws. It falls under everything. You got to look at the Act and the Privacy Act and statutes where they cannot list her like that. Somebody's lying.
Right.
You hear
yeah,
me?
Well, thank you.
So
you know,
West Virginia
I'm glad that, you know,
for a full.
Right. Well, I'm glad that, you know, things are going the way they're going for your case. And I do hope that the Supreme Court does, you know, take a look at that and that you after you get the kids registered. You know, and that's just, you know, that's just another, you know, example of how somebody had to deal with CPS and going through this. You know, I've got, you know, cases of calling. You look in the newspaper daily and see how children were in foster care or they were in the care of somebody else and they got hindered. We'll go to the lines again real quick. And good evening. You're live on Cannabuse.
Hello, Glenn. How are you doing, Miss Dana?
I'm good, Dana. How are you doing? Hey, I want to give a shout-out real quick. I see a few. John Prince, thank you very much for joining us from California. And Seth Cunningham, you know, there's a man that is walking for a change. That is definitely walking through the pain, and I'm glad you, brother, man, you were able to join and watch the show and share it around. Thank you so much. And Dana Dangle is on. Dana is watching, and thank you for watching. And Alicia, she cannot comment, but she's watching as well, so I appreciate that. And William, always glad to have you on watching. Dana, what's going on there with Zach's case and up there in northern part of Missouri?
Well, same as always, just a bunch of waiting and going to court and then waiting some more. And that seems to be the only thing they want to do is take him in and then come back a month later. And, I mean, it really doesn't make any sense why they're even doing all this now. Hopefully, when they pass adult use in this state, which should be this next election, it will cause them to have to decriminalize stuff.
Right on. Yeah, it would definitely have to, you know, make some kind of a change. you know, as if they would absolutely just change a few things, you know, wordings and laws and stuff. Real quick, Dana, do you want to give a rundown on your chapter and what you do?
Well, got a lot of things going on right now, but we take and try to take and get support for people for their court cases on cannabis cases, especially if it's medical. And usually we don't lose when you have court support and people following the case. It usually ends up in a better better output than what it would have been to begin with.
Right on. Give people how they can get a hold of you and how they can help if they're in Missouri, or even if they're not in Missouri, how can they help?
Well, in Missouri or even not around Missouri, just look for us here on Facebook, and my name's Dana Bland, and we'll help change Indiana Prohibition, the Human Solutions International Chapter Court Support, and support the people that you know that's being harassed by the government with these bogus charges. We got to get this stuff dropped with everything that's going on. It's just stupid for them to keep holding back all the resources that we have when it's on a plant that don't hurt anybody, but it heals people.
Right. Absolutely. You know, after, you know, 80-some years of them continuously lying to us and throwing people in jail, you know, and I think, as you know, John had posted there and made a really good point that, you know, he looked up for 2020, not one cannabis patient was arrested in for medical marijuana in California. And that's an amazing thing, you know, not to have any arrest over that. You know, well, here, I'll throw that up there because Peggy's right. Court support and public awareness is absolutely works and it can help, you know, and everybody can use support going forward with any case. Dana, I'm thank you, man, for popping on. And I don't want to ever forget about Zach. So I appreciate you keep reminding me. I'm going to have to get a post up here, too, for him also.
Yeah, as far as the ladies on the show today, I'm back supporting them. I've already done one case with that CPS was involved in, and I mean, I remember when I was young and my kids were little in Florida, and we moved into a house and we weren't even home, and someone called CPS on us and said we were beating our kids, and we literally had to move away just to get away from them because they will not leave you alone. They seem to think they're above the law, and you can see what they're doing. I mean, they're taking hundreds of thousands of kids coming across that border and just shipping them to whoever, and no one knows where they're going, and that's what they do with our kids, and especially the poor. I mean, it's ridiculous because they know that they don't have the money to fight back, and they go in there and they just like – they traffic kids. It's just no ways about it.
Right. Yeah. And it's wrong. You know, what, you know, Janine had to go through, you know, and it's something that she didn't even do anything wrong. And that's the sad thing about this. And, you know, let's be frank and let's be honest. Real quick, Dana, thank you very much for joining us. Again, real quick, give us the contact information on how people can reach you.
Well, we're Hope for Changing the Inner Prohibition here in Missouri, and you'll find me as Dana Bland on Facebook, several pages. My number is 1-417-493-6176 if you need a call and you've been arrested for medical cannabis or whatever, as long as it's just cannabis. And we can't help you if you don't contact us.
All right, absolutely. Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that. You know, I want to, you know, Dana did start to bring up, and he did touch on something that's very good. You know, most times, you know, like with you, Janine, what you had to go through, oftentimes it does not take anybody for doing anything. All it takes is somebody just making a phone call saying, hey, I think, just like in your case, your sister, you know, after a 20-some year, 30-year grudge, just because she's a little snot, you know, decide, you know, wants to put you, you know, through hell. And, you know, how is that right for somebody to be able to do that? And you know, CPS doesn't care whether it's a lie or whether it's the truth. All they have to do, and, you know, here's the sick, sad thing about this. They get paid to take your kids from you. Then they get paid to place your kids somewhere. Then they get paid from the state because they've got an open case on that child. But then, you know, the foster parent gets money again also through CPS because of, you know, it's child trafficking. There is no other way to look at it. It is child trafficking. If you take a child from someone and you give it to somebody else and receive money, that's trafficking. And it's legal for them to do it.
Exactly. One thing I wanted to say, during all this time, the Wheeling PD had gone into my apartment without me being there. They went to the office, and, of course, the office let him in. But the maintenance man was supposed to go in with them. The cops told him no, he wasn't allowed. Well, they were looking for a fan blade and all kinds of – they wanted pill bottles with other people's names on them other than mine and the children's. And they were looking for any kind of drug paraphernalia for consumption, manufacturing, just all kinds of stuff. When my girlfriend, Mandy K. Benet, and I walked into my apartment, they were there at 12:37. We arrived at my apartment at 2:07, and they were already gone. We walked in, and my suitcases had been moved because I had just spent a few weeks with another friend up in Canton, my girlfriend, Sheila Billman. And my suitcases were on the couch. As a matter of fact, this couch I'm sitting on right now, and they were open, and they were neatly gone through. But yet my purses were just strewn across the love seat. On the, well, there wasn't even any paperwork there. They didn't leave any paperwork stating what they were there for. I thought maybe, I didn't know if my sister had come back into my apartment, if she had somehow gotten the key since I had changed the lock. Well, the only thing I found missing was a packet of my daughter's ashes. I carry this in my purse all the time, and I have a packet of her ashes in it. Well, that was laying on the floor. Ashes were gone. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So Mandy and I searched, and then we couldn't find them. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, me, my ex-fiance, and two more girlfriends went there. We cleaned the whole house. We packed everything up and looked for them. Couldn't find them anywhere. Well, we left at 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday night, Friday morning, and the only thing that was on my counter was a bucket with a bottle of cleaner, a scrub brush, and a scrubbing rag, and then a roll of paper towel. And the one girl forgot her can of Mountain Dew, so it was sitting there. When we walked back in the next morning, this, which is my daughter's ashes, were laying on the counter next to the Mountain Dew can. And she was like, hey, Janine, what's this? And I was like, oh, my God, that's Jessica's ashes. Where were they? And she was like, yeah, and dropped them on the floor. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry, I picked them up. Wheeling PD took my daughter's ashes, thinking they were drugged, and tested them. That's desecration of a human remains and or corpse.
No, fuck that.
But there's no way I can prove that they took it. But on Tuesday, I had sent Jimmy over to grab my suitcases because I wasn't going back to the apartment.
Yeah.
And when he walked in, on my counter laid an evidence sheet from the Wheeling PD that wasn't there the day before when I was there because neither myself nor Mandy seen it on the counter. But Tuesday morning when he got there at like 8 o'clock in the morning, it was there. Or 7:30 in the morning, it was there. And it said what that they said they were looking for a fan blade, pill bottles, and anything to manufacture, consumption, using, or whatever, packaging, selling. And the only thing they put on the paper, evidence seized, they put nothing seized. Yes, they did. They stole my daughter's ashes.
Oh,
and they tested them.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And then came back into my house 4 days later and put them back up on the counter.
Unbelievable. That's just absolutely, I don't even have words for that. I'm sorry.
It's horrible.
That is. We have another guy coming online. John Prinz, I hope I hit the right one. I thought I recognized the number. Good evening. You're live on Canaview.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, John. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We can hear you.
Hey, I did a little research today because I was watching the Congress interviewing the Attorney General today, because we have a lot of people where I live, they're getting told they have to have the vaccine regardless in their children's arms, and but yet, you know, it's kind of crazy. But so I did some research, because I listened to every one of those senators, and I called every one of them up and asked them the question. If I told them that I'm a whistleblower for the opiate epidemic, and if they'd like me to speak in front of Congress, I'd be happy to speak in front of them to tell them that we have the cure for this opiate epidemic. And so I was researching California being arrested, you know, for marijuana, and you can go to our California, they have a whole deal of their drugs and stuff for felonies. This is felonies. In 2016, we passed Proposition 64 legalized marijuana for 21 years and older. And so what happened in 2015, we had almost 9,000 adults arrested for marijuana. We had last year only 1,027 of them, and that was 984 of them were adults and 43 were younger than 21 and over. So what we did have, though, is drug offense. We had last year 25,000 arrests for drug offense, and what has changed in California is that drug offense is broken down into narcotics. We had 8,000, almost 9,000 people arrested in California for narcotics and 15,000 arrested for dangerous drugs, which would be fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamines, I guess, same with narcotics. So probably the narcotics is the meth, and the dangerous drugs is the stuff that kills you, which is the opiates. And so what we have in California is so much freedom that I can't even explain. And I'm listening to this lady talk, and it reminds me of my grandson, Jamin. His name is Jamin Foster. He's 7 years old, and he was born in Tehama County, 58 counties in California, because his grandpa, me, was an advocate. My daughter, I got her off of OxyContin, also with my formula of cannabis. And my grandson was born in Tehama County. Grandma, what year was that, man? 2014, I believe. Okay, with marijuana in his blood the whole time he's been carried. And he's the smartest little kid you would ever see. And it's kind of sad that we're hearing stories like this, because I think my California state has really moved away from a lot of stuff you guys keep seeing, and you guys are hitting your head against the wall, because the guys running your show, the rulers are in charge where you're at, and we in California have so much more problems. Marijuana is not it. Every adult in California can grow 6 plants indoors and never get arrested. Now, you ask yourself, well, that seems crazy. But that is every adult. Now, everybody tries to grow, but not everybody can. And some of us patients have the right to grow outdoors, even though it says we can't. The word is called quid pro quo in government, which means something for something. So as long as, see, I was raised in this county of Tehama, in a little town called Red Bluff, California. It's a different place than you've ever imagined. It's just like John Wayne stuff, okay? These guys are ranchers and cowboys. And so I was told a few years ago of these local supervisors that I was a good old boy. Now, I've never been a cowboy, Glenn. I've been a hippie. I listen to rock and roll. I love going to concerts, but I've always loved marijuana. And so now I got injured. I get a habit, smoke it, drink it, possess it, and kind of sad that I'm hearing all this stuff. And, you know, my friend LV Musica, he's a federal patient, and he showed me how to have balls in 2005 when I got arrested in Oregon with 5 pounds of marijuana and an ounce of hashish going through Oregon, 2004. LV Musica was a witness for my case, and they dropped that shit faster than anything because of another doctor named Todd Micaria. So, Glenn, that's why I sent you all my paperwork. I hope I can help anybody out. But we got to stop this madness, like Dana said, where he lives. And I see his beautiful plants, and it's just so much freedom to have the right to use this medicine. And we're at a time now we got to help everybody. And I just wish I could travel to go back there and show people, but all I can do is call in. Get back to your show. And
John, isn't California called the Golden State?
Yeah, but it's really called the Green State because, see, we got $8 billion, guys, being grown in the black market, and it's all coming back to you, and I'm not part of that, but I know people that are. And the deal is they're trying to burn us out with the fires because they're trying to control the marijuana gardens. Everywhere you see fires is where marijuana is grown in California, people. True story.
Yeah.
Paradise, California killed 84 people. I call it Operation Burn 'Em Out, Glenn. Listen, the only ones getting paid is our California firefighters, and they laugh about it when they come through a marijuana garden that a patient needs to live on. It's so sad. And these people in the foothills of California, some of them are so poor they don't have electricity, they don't have water, and they have to live like this because they believe in their freedom. So we call them hills people.
On that, John, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and thank you for living in such a great state that you can always share your stories with and your healing.
Well, Dennis Brown was our godfather, and he did it because of this virus. And, Glenn, if you ever come to California, please stop by and visit, all right? You're always welcome.
You are on the list, John. Trust and believe, you're on that list, sir. You guys have a great night there.
You too.
You know, Janine, I'm flabbergasted at, you know, how you were treated in this case and you know, had to go through and what you're still having to deal with. You know, I'm very sorry.
I went and seen my parole officer today for the first time, and I explained to him on how, before I went to jail, I had weaned myself off of my anxiety, depression, PTSD, and chronic pain medication. And I was taking care of it with vaping and edibles, bath salts, and lotions. And I asked him today if I would be able to continue that. He wants me to go get back on barbiturates and opioids. And
That's absolutely ridiculous.
If I did get a medical marijuana card, that he would check into it, and as long as I have a card, he's pretty sure that I might be able to get away with it.
Hey, have him look up the Ohio case of Peggy Keeling and Glenn Keeling, and that'll solve it right there for you. Trust and believe that.
Yeah, but I'm in West Virginia.
Case law is case law. You can still use another, because you guys have a medical program. And case law, as long as there's similarities to your case as to what our case is, you should be able to have no problem. Just have him tell him to check out our case. And Peggy and I, going through our case, we fought for 3 years. 5 months after we started our case, we were bonded, mind you, not to use alcohol, but use our medical marijuana. It's in our bond paperwork. And then going forward, our probation has not denied us the use of our medical marijuana because Ohio views it as a script from a doctor. So, you might want him to have him look into a couple of cases that have already happened, because it might set precedents and it might help you a little bit. So definitely tell him to check us out.
Right? Send me a link and I will send it to him.
Right on. Absolutely. Janine, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And man, I'm really sorry that you had to go through what you're going through. You know, it's horrible, especially when CPS gets involved. But it's equally as evilly horrible when it's a family member that does this to you.
These are my grandchildren. That's Ariana. She's the oldest. Wait a minute. Now I'm on the wrong side. Ariana, she's the oldest. She's 15. That's Jameer. He's 13. And Malaysia, who's 12. This was their school picture that my daughter put on Facebook. And my big sister in Texas, who her, Tina Ball, and my brother, Stephen Bliss, out of my whole family, those were the only two that supported me while I was in there. The rest of the people was my Cloud family, the Holistic Cloud. Kate Teeters, Brenda Sellers, Jesse Arlene Marshall, Sheila Billman, the Lees. I mean, the list just goes on and on, the people that supported me while I was in there. And I'm so very grateful to each and every one of them.
Right. And they are some great people.
I mean, right. When you see stuff on TV about in jail, you know, the TV shows, that shit really happens in jail.
Oh, yeah. And then some. I think that it's kind of, you know, dumbed down kind of mildly for TV purposes. But, you know, John, she's talking from West Virginia is where she's at. Again, Janine, thank you very much for joining us tonight and you know, telling us your story and setting it straight and getting your side out so people can hear it. I greatly appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. You have a good evening.
You too.
All right. So, you know, listen, that just shows that you've always got to watch yourself and you know, try to, you know, I'm going to say this and you know, I stick by it. Nobody outside of your home has the right to come in and tell you that you're doing a wrong job. They don't have the right to come and tell you that you have raised your child wrong. They don't have the right to take your child from you because, listen, children don't come with a handbook. Absolutely do not come with a handbook. It's trial and error, and everybody does the best that they possibly can, surviving the best way they can and raising their children the best way they can, and it does not give somebody else the right to come into your home and to take your child from you. So just keep that as we go forward. And also, please, please, please get them papers out. Send them letters to people. Must not forget Zach Salazar this week. Must not forget about Aaron and Adele Wisdom. And please, we definitely cannot and do not want to forget about Lance Glore, who is fighting at this time for his life is what it comes down to, because he's fighting COVID as well as a 10-year sentence. So I greatly appreciate everybody joining me tonight live on the videos and calling in. You were all appreciated, and thank you guys for being here for the show. And you guys have a good night.